almost 9 o'clock. Do we have the quorum, Brian?
That is correct, sir.
We do.
Yes.
Colleagues, good morning and welcome. A special welcome to the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Chair.
How are you, Minister?
We are fine, sir. We are ready.
Sebonga, niphile nje. Thank you so much. Of course, the minister will be accompanied by the SecDef. Good morning, SecDef.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chair. And good
yes.
morning, Minister.
Good morning, SecDef. And on the platform, I see the Deputy Minister. No, apologies, Deputy Minister. I did not see your name earlier. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Committee members. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. All right. So, colleagues, thank you very much. And I know there is this group of council in the meeting. Advocate, good morning.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning. Yes,
members.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, thank you very much. I welcome all of you to the meeting. We only have four items on the agenda. It's the preliminaries, opening and welcome, two apologies, three is the briefing by the Minister of Defence and Arms Corps on the future of Project Cairo, Project Hotel, and WHO Fiesta, including past payments and plans to address the combat vehicle requirements for the South African Army, and two, the status of maintenance of the South African Air Force fleet by DNEL and other service providers. And then we'll then consider the minutes, consider and adopt the minutes. We have two sets. We must deal with this, otherwise the House Chair will call me to order if I don't ensure that minutes get adopted. And then we close the meeting. So these are the items for today. And without much ado, let me check if there are any apologies, colleagues. Let me start with you, Brian. Brian, let me start with you. Are there any apologies?
No, Chair, we do not have any apologies. Thank you.
We do not have any apologies. All right. let me just check on the side of the department. SecDef, are there any apologies that you may wish to record?
We don't have any, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, SecDef. All right. Colleagues, I said I would call our researcher to present the paper that I asked him to prepare, largely to recap on the past discussions on the issues that we are presenting today, so that we don't cover the ground that we have already covered. And I invite you, Willem Janse van Rensburg, Dr. Janse van Rensburg. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to the members and Minister and Arms Corps
personnel, good morning. Chair, you asked me to just briefly capture what was said in regards to some of the projects. In this paper, it didn't reflect on Project Hotel because that has been largely on track and no specific discussions on Hotel has been forthcoming. But to look briefly at the other projects, Project Hoofeister, Briaro, and then to look at the maintenance of the SA Air Force fleet. Just as way of introduction in the paper that was distributed yesterday to members, I think it's important to keep in mind why we look at these things. And it's in terms of Section 11.3 of the 1996 White Paper that states that the SANF shall be a balanced, modern, affordable, and technologically advanced military force capable of executing its tasks effectively and efficiently. And for the military to maintain this function and to be a modern, affordable, and technologically advanced force, it needs refurbishment, it needs maintenance of its prime mission equipment, and I think that is part of that's the context of today's discussion. In terms of Project Hoofeister, the first one, the paper I did just gave a very short background on what it is and that the military is looking to replace its aging Rattle fleet. Members are well aware of this project by now, and we've covered it several times in this committee as well. But what is clear is that the project has been delayed by more than a decade, and that is an issue of concern. I also picked up in the paper, noted that Project Hoofeister was noted as a casualty of the state capture at the NAL, according to the State Cap Commission's report that was released recently. And for members, if you want to see in the paper that I provided to you at the end, there's an extract of the Commission's report as it relates to Project Hoofeister. In terms of this committee's work, the more recent work of this committee in relation to Project Hoofeister.
Sorry. There is a colleague with an iPad. Chief of the Navy, please, may I request that you... Doc. My apologies.
No problem, Chair. Getting back to this committee's work on Project Hoofeister, just a quick overview of the most recent discussions. In November 2020, OMSCOR gave a presentation to the committee and said that Project Hoofeister has not shown any significant progress over the past year, and it developed. Development was initially contracted for 2012, but this has not been completed. Members are well aware of that. Then in the December 2020 BRRR, this committee recommended that the DoD, OMSCOR, and the NAL should jointly reevaluate the feasibility of Project Hoofeister and present the committee with a way forward. Very important to this was the minister subsequent to the Armaments Acquisition Council meeting, where a decision will be taken on Project Hoofeister, should provide a detailed written feedback to the committee on the outcome and the way forward. Now, this response came in a way in May 2021, where the DoD responded to this, and the DoD stated that Project Hoofeister made no progress during the quarter four of that year. The NAL's financial situation and challenges with human capital hampers this SOE's ability to perform and on the contract on score. And crucially here, it said the future of the NAL has not yet been decided upon by Cabinet. The contract between the NAL and OMSCOR is not feasible to the parties involved. And I think that is an important response from the DoD, the non-feasibility of this project. Skip ahead to December 2021. The OMSCOR again reported that the DoD has been engaging on the matter of Project Hoofeister and that there was no progress in this regard. And the latest input from this committee was in last year's BRRR. Important in this BRRR recommendation is the fact that the Armaments Acquisition Council has not published the decision on the matter since 2019, following a recommendation from OMSCOR, and this is of key concern to the committee. And therefore, this committee requested that before the end of January 2021, the Minister of Defense and the Armaments Acquisition Council submit in writing to the committee the reasons for the delay and a decision on the future of this project, and by when a decision can be expected and what the likely way forward is. I think that will be covered to an extent in today's discussion, but feedback from the Armaments Acquisition Council is really critical given the recommendations that was made by this committee. Skipping ahead, Chair, to the other project, Project Biro, I'll go through this very quickly. This is the replacement of the offshore and inshore patrol vessels for the SA Navy. And I think important here is it was the issue around funding. If you look at what the committee discussed from December 2020 to December 2021, is at first there were indications from the DoD CFO that funding is not available for the complete project and that there was going to be a shortfall in terms of funding. And this was confirmed in the DoD responses to the BRRR in May 2021, where they said that Project Biro is not sufficiently funded to honor the current contractual obligations. The special defense account reserves will have to be reallocated. When they reported in November, Arms Corps reported that there was some significant progress with the vessels, and I think they'll report on that today. And living close to Simonstown, we saw the vessel coming, one of the new vessels coming to the Simonstown harbor yesterday. So there is significant progress with the project. The only question that remains is on the funding. There was a shortfall of 184 million rand for Project Biro, and that was the committee's key concern over the past year, is whether this shortfall will be funded. So that's the key issue around Project Biro. And then in terms of the Air Force's maintenance, specifically by the NEL, in this paper I provided a brief overview of some of the aspects that the NEL is responsible for in terms of maintenance in the Air Force. And I think, again, Arms Corps will expand on this today. The NEL is responsible for several of the aircraft's maintenance, specifically the Roy Falcon Oryx, where they are the original equipment manufacturer. And then around the C-130 medium transport aircraft, they're also responsible, as far as I could determine, for the maintenance of those aircraft. Just to take it a bit wider than the aircraft itself, the NEL Dynamic is also the original equipment manufacturer for some of the Air Force's missiles, including the A-Darter missile and the Mokopa air-to-surface missile. I'm not sure if that one is in service yet, but it is important to note that the NEL also provides missiles, and this committee has noted in the past significant delays, specifically with the A-Darter air-to-air missile, and perhaps that could be brought into the discussion today as well, because this is an important aspect for your force readiness. And lastly, when we speak about aircraft maintenance, in terms of the NEL, it's also important to take into account the NEL Overberg test range, which is located at Air Force Base Overberg in Bredasdorp in the Western Cape. This facility provides aircraft evaluation and testing. And since this is a NEL facility, it could be of value to ask the department at Arms Corps just to expand a bit on the operational capabilities of this NEL facility and whether there's any dangers posed to aircraft maintenance and aircraft testing in the Air Force due to this facility being under the management of the NEL. The article, the report I submitted to members also made reference to an article on the 15th of May 2021 that came out of the Mail and Guardian. The article was reportedly based on a letter from the SA Air Force Chief Director of Force Development. And some of the aspects noted in this article was that the NEL cannot deliver on its contracts with the Air Force, specifically because most skilled and specialist engineers and technicians have left. There was also an issue around the NEL Pretoria metal pressings, which is contracted for aircraft power cartridges and small to medium caliber weapons. And there was concern that this facility of the NEL is not delivering on those munitions. However, in response, the spokesperson of the SANDF denied the situation was critical, as not all SA Air Force aircraft maintenance was done through the NEL. So he also noted that the Air Force has other maintenance and support contracts. And I guess this will become clearer today, but it's important to note this article and the concerns raised in this article. The last point around this was just around the ADART-MSL and the committee's input around the ADART-MSL and the slow progress in finalizing the ADART-MSL. And the question then arises is whether Denel can still deliver on this crucial piece of equipment to the SA Air Force. Lastly, although the committee, this is the first engagement of the committee dealing specifically with aircraft maintenance, there's been some issues that have been raised in the past which is relevant. In December 2020, the committee noted that it encourages the minister to relay to cabinet the dire consequences of any potential collapse of Denel. And this consequences will be for Arms Corps, the broader defense industry, and the SANF's operational capability. And that's why it's important to have this discussion today. Secondly, the DoD in their VRRR responses noted the following, and this is important for follow-up, is that the department attended to this matter as follows. Firstly, the DoD said that the matter was raised at the Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster. Next, in May 2021, they said that the matter was taken to the National Security Council. And third, the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans took the matter to Cabinet. The status and future of the SA defense industry, specifically Arms Corps and Denel, will be taken back to Cabinet within the next few weeks. So this was just a little less than a year ago, and we can see that there's been focus on the whole Denel issue. And it was taken to Cabinet, and it would be good to follow up because there's a clear impact on our defense capabilities due to concerns around Denel. Lastly, in the most recent PRRR, this committee said that it noted with concern the situation of Denel Dynamics and its inability to make progress with the commercialization of the ADART-MSL. And then, very importantly, members also raised the potential negative impact on the operational capability of the Air Force. Chair and members, those are the three issues for discussion today, three of the four issues, and the discussions that this committee has had. At the end of the paper, there was a quick overview of the judicial inquiry into state capture and the specific references that this report makes to Project Hoefijzer. Suffice to say, in summary, is that this report quoted the chairperson of Denel as stating that Project Hoefijzer remains the biggest threat to Denel. Hoefijzer remains the single biggest program on Denel's balance sheet. So that provides context from Denel's side. And the finding in terms of the Commission of Inquiry, one of the findings, the key findings, was that the award of the ALS contract for this project Hoefijzer to VR Laser, which is a subsidiary of Denel, was found to be irregular. So just for context, that there's more reading that members can do there. Chair members, this was the overview of the key discussions that this committee had around these projects. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Dr. Janse van Rensburg, for this exercise, so that we are all on the same page. And now that we have done this, maybe it's the right time to invite the minister to introduce the item number three. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the Deputy Minister and I are in the delegation led by the DEFSEC. I shall hand over to the DEFSEC to introduce our presentation to the committee on the matters we are on about today.
Oh, thank you very much. All right. So, SecDef, the minister has delegated to you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Madam Minister. Chairperson, we have the presentation on all the matters that have been raised to be discussed today, covering those projects on Hoefijzer, Biro, Hotel, and then also giving a look at our Air Force fleet. We have the CEO of Arms Corps with us that has worked together with our colleagues from DOD which is Admiral Morris. And over and above this, Chair, we also have our Chief of the Navy. We also have the Deputy Chief of the Air Force that are here to take us through the presentation. So I'll hand over to them, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me welcome, I'm sorry I omitted doing this, welcome Mr. Lawrence Van Vuren and Ms. Mbali Tsotetsi. They are both from the Office of the Auditor General of South Africa. You are welcome, colleagues.
Thank you, Jake. Good morning.
Thank you so much. All right. CEO, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. A warm welcome also to our Minister, Deputy Minister, colleagues from the DOD, AMSCO board members who are joining us this morning.
My apologies. I did not see them. Can you introduce them? Maybe let me ask the Chair. Philip Dexter to do the honors. If you could just introduce, just greet us and introduce the team, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chair. I see the CEO is here, of course. I'm just looking through the list to see who else has joined us. CEO, who else is with you?
Where we are sitting, it's not, we can't really see who are the other members.
Okay, so I'll just have to apologize and say all protocol observed from our side, Chair. But we have members of the board and members of the executive team. Oh, I see the CFO is there, the company secretary, Mr. Tefo, I can see. So I'm sure all protocol observed, Chair.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Dexter. The two of us exercise oversight over the entity. I'm happy that you are in the meeting so that if there are issues that need to follow up at your level, you are there to take it to your board. Thank you so much. All right, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Tefu will be during the presentation, Chair, and I'm glad that you know some of the issues have already been highlighted by the researcher, which will obviously give a good context, but I think we will be delving into those issues, and thereafter, Chair, we will be available for the questions that the members will have. Thank you. Over to you,
sir. Thank you, CEO. Again, good morning, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Ministers, the Deputy Minister, the sector, DOD officials and members of the AMSCO Board. Chair, as you have indicated, we'll start and present on the naval vessels, the infantry combat vehicle for the South African Army. And lastly, we'll deal with the serviceability of the South African Air Force fleet.
Chair, the first slide just introduces the just a picture of the initial patrol vessel. This is a contract that has been awarded to Damen to deliver the initial patrol vessels. The contract was entered into in 2018 and provides for the deliveries of the three vessels in March 2022, June 2023, and September 2024, respectively. Chair, I think as the was said right at the outset, the delivery of the first vessel is envisaged to take place on the 24th of March. The vessel has undergone sea trials in February. And we recently have had an engagement on Monday with the contractor, and it was again reconfirmed that the vessel will be delivered to the South African Navy on the 24th of March. The second vessel, the unit assembly is 78% complete, The whole assembly is 75% complete, and 33 of the main, of the 46 main equipment factory acceptance tests have been completed successfully. On the third vessel, Chair, the fabrication of 8 of the 21 sections are in progress. The section fabrication is 29% complete, and 11 of the 46 main equipment factory acceptance tests have been completed. The training for the system training has commenced in earnest, and this will be completed in March 2022. With regards to the spares, the first batches were ordered and delivery thereof is in progress, Chair. In terms of the scheduled risk, Chair indicated the first vessel will be delivered in March. And given the current vessel construction status, it is expected that the two last vessels, the second and the third, will be delivered ahead of schedule. And we are of the view that the schedule risk is low, and no further delays are not foreseen. Chair, just to deal with the issue of funding, as was indicated right at the beginning, when it was last reported, there was no funding. We can report to the committee today that the sufficient funding has been made available to complete the project. In terms of the future maintenance costs, the annual operating and maintenance cost for the three inshore patrol vessels is estimated at 80 million. As part of the submission of the bid for the construction of the vessel, there was an option to be exercised, for the fourth vessel on the same price and conditions as the first three, and that particular option has to be exercised by the 11th of July 2022. I will then proceed to the hydrographic vessel project hotel. The slide merely indicates the picture of the survey motorboats. That's not actually the hydrographic vessel, but the hydrographic vessel is depicted in the next slide. Chair, the construction of 10 out of the 10 blocks of the hydrographic vessel is complete. The contractor is busy with the equipment installation, which has also commenced in earnest, and further to that, training has also commenced. The delivery of vessel is expected to take place in April 2023, and after delivery, there will be an interim support of 18 months, which then pushes this to October 2024. As part of the contract, the contractor had to do the hydrographic office, which is also 99% completed. The handover process has been completed, and the interim support has commenced. The survey motor boat, Chair, the handover is complete, and the operational training and evaluation will therefore commence. The formal qualification reviews are complete for both the survey motor boats 2 and 3, and the two motor boats, the last 2 and 3, will be placed into preservation and therefore delivered with the main vessel. When it comes to the sea boats, the sea acceptance trials are complete, and the sea boats will be placed equally into preservation and delivered with the hydrographic vessel. On the schedule risks, the production phase is inherently a very short period because only a single ship is being produced. We have, in addition, amended the contract and provided more time for the
for the contractor to construct the vessel due to force majeure claims and other COVID-related claims by the contractor. And this, therefore, should enable the contractor to recover the lost time. Chair, with regards to the issue of funding, as it was last reported, there wasn't adequate funding, but we can report today that Project Hotel is fully funded. On the issue of the future maintenance costs, the annual operating maintenance cost for the vessel is estimated at 50 million at the 2019-20 rand value. The last slide on the project Byron Hotel mainly deals with the contractual values. You'll see from the slide that we indicate what the purchase order is for Project Hotel, which is around 1.8 billion, and the approved financial authority is at 2.7 million, which caters for other variables, notably the rate of exchange, escalation, and the value-added tax, as well as other costs, which deals in the main. This is just a risk provision for any additional unforeseen, you know, tasks. On project, on the IPVs, the project Biro, the project, the contract value, it's 2.4 billion. The approved financial authority for this project stands at 3.6 billion. And what makes up the 3.6 share is the variables, as I've alluded to, you know, dealing with the rate of exchange escalation as well as VAT. Chair, if you allow me, I'll then move to project Professor. As it was said right at the outset, this project is laid by more than a decade. And the project, as the members of the committee would know, deals with the development, industrialization, and production of 264 infantry combat vehicles to replace the Rattle infantry combat vehicles. The slide merely depicts the five variants that were contracted by AMSCO on Denel Land Systems. The next slide, the Chair, deals with the advance payments. The Chair, you would note that this particular project was divided into two phases. The first phase was the design and development, which was contracted at 1.7 billion. To date, Chair, we have paid 1.5 billion. Phase two of the project was contracted, or rather is contracted, at 12.9 billion. To date, we have paid just over 5 billion, and cumulatively, we have paid, the total paid to date is around 7.6 billion. And the total order amount for both phase one and phase two is around 16 billion. Chair, you've also noted that that this slide does not merely indicate the orders that were placed on Denel, but there were a subset of orders that were placed on the other players in the industry. For instance, you see the communication contract was placed on Realtek develop project the Radiate, that is the tactical communication system, as well as the qualification of the Ingram missiles on both Denel Dynamics as well as Rheinmetall Denel Dynamics. The next slide looks at the advance payments made to date. I should mention to the committee that the advance payments were paid to Denel, and in lieu of the payment of the advance payments,
Danielle then provided us with the bank guarantees as well as the corporate guarantees. You would note that from the slide, the guarantees indicated in red are Danielle corporate guarantees. And given the financial position of Danielle as we speak today, those guarantees may be at risk if we were to elect to recover those particular the guarantees. It's in the region of just over 600 million. An amount of 1.4 billion is therefore in bank guarantees. As I said, the amounts which are covered by the Danielle corporate guarantees are at risk. What are the challenges in the execution of Project Who First? Danielle approached AmSquare's alias to 2017, 18 or so, and indicated that it's not in a position to execute the project as contracted. And consequently, we held various engagements between the two parties, which therefore again revealed the risks that Danielle will not be in a position to meet the terms of the contract. Consequently, AmSco presented to the PDSC in November 2018, whereby this risks were highlighted and possible alternatives were therefore presented. Chair, follows is just scenarios that were presented to the PDSC at the time. And one scenario one, if I may take the committee through that one, was to accept Danielle's request to extend the delivery date to year 2026. The waiving of penalties at the projected value of 500 million. This is just the projected penalty value in lieu of the date that was proposed by Danielle, the 2026 date. And Danielle further had requested the absorbing of the escalation costs, e.g. the inflation and the rate of exchange by both AmSco and the DOD. The scenario two looked at reducing the project scope in terms of quantities and the number of variants. As I have indicated, the number of vehicles was 264 and we had five variants. So a consideration was therefore put on the reduction of the quantities and the variant. The scenario three looked at seeking an alternative contractor to replace all work with Danielle. And scenario four looked at the imposition of a cut-off date of May 2019 for the completion of the design phase of the section variant and consider terminating the project. The PDSC proposed that there should be further engagement with the SA Army in various forums in the DOD. And the outcome of the discussions and investigations resulted in the following conclusions. Chair one, to allow Danielle Land Systems to complete phase one up to the product baseline stage. Two, to defer phase two and consequently to allow AmSco to terminate phase two orders, except for the completion of the pre-production models. Chair, I must indicate it here that we indeed proceeded to terminate phase two orders because we were of the view that the contractor was not making any significant headway in the execution of this particular project. And lastly, to ring-fence funds allocated for phase two to be used by the SA Army for other operational requirements. And lastly, Chair, we'll deal with the recommendations. As I've indicated, Danielle made it clear to AmSco and to the DOD in uncertain terms that they are not in a position to complete the project in the manner contracted, due to insufficient capability. People have left Danielle, as the chair would know. There are financial challenges besetting Danielle, and lastly, the issue of the obsolescence of critical subsystems that were already brought by Denel in the execution of the project. And lastly, Denel is of the view that the project is loss-making. The recommended option, Chair, is to, in lieu of what I said, is that the contract needs to be cancelled and consideration needs to be given to the recalling of the bank guarantees held by the various banks that had indicated right at the beginning that there is an amount of 1.4 billion that is being in the bank guarantees held by the banks. But what would be the implications if we were to exercise the recalling, you know, of this guarantee? The recalling of the guarantee, Chair, may lead to the banks going after Denel and the possible liquidation of Denel. And if Denel ceases to exist, there will be a loss of sovereign capability in producing armaments for the South African Defence Force. If the contractor is cancelled, the Chair, and there is no combat capability for the South African Army, what then becomes of the combat readiness for the South African Army? Chair, the funds from the cancelled contract, we are of the view, could possibly be rechanneled into the upgrading of the Rattle combat vehicle system. And as I indicated, so the funds will constitute of bank guarantees, the 1.4 billion that I've alluded to earlier, and the current year allocation of 1.9 billion. So that is the last slide dealing with the project Hoofvester. And also, if you'd allow me, I'll deal with the last aspect of the presentation, that is the status of the maintenance of the South African Air Force fleet. The next slide, Chair, just gives a an overview of the number of fleet, the aircraft system, as well as on the extreme right, the serviceability of those particular aircraft systems. If I may start with the Rafale, we have a total of four, and there is only four which are serviceable. On the Oryx is 39, 17 is serviceable. On the C-130, 6-1 is beyond economic repair, and 1 is serviceable. The BBJ, 9 is available. The Falcon is a fleet total of 3, 1 is available. The light utility helicopter, the LUH, is 30. The fleet total of 5 is beyond economic repair, 3 is available. The PK 1176, it's a fleet total. 1 is beyond economic repair, 3 is it's serviceable. On the caravans, shared is a fleet total of 8. 2 is placed in long-term storage. 5 is serviceable. On the CASA, it's a fleet of 3. 2 is serviceable. On the Dakota, it's 16 aircraft. 7 is beyond economic repair. 4 is held in long-term storage. 3 is serviceable. On the Gripen, out of 26, 3 it's 2 rather is beyond economic repair. 11 is held in long-term storage. There is none available. The Hawk, out of the fleet of 24, 3 is available. 3 is beyond economic repair. 12 is held in long-term storage. On the King Air, 3 there is a total of 3. One is in storage, one it's available. Chair, on the Lynx, out of the total of 4, there is none available. The PC-7, out of 35, 16 is in long-term storage, and 3 is serviceable, the PC 12. It's only one, and one is serviceable. The next slide, Chair, will run through it. It merely gives a narrative of the challenges being faced in the servicing of the various aircraft, starting with the Roy Falk, the current maintenance contract, Chair, ends in 2022. And the liquidity crisis within DNEL is causing a delay with regards to subcontractors requesting full payment before commencement of any work. And therefore, AMSCO has mitigated this risk by paying subcontractors directly. The current Air Force budget share for the Rafale combat support helicopter overwhelmingly caters for fixed costs and is limited provision for on-demand funds that are required to get the unserviceable land replacement units serviceable. And therefore, the lack of on-demand funds is negatively impacting on the aircraft's serviceability. On the MRO servicing capability, Chair, there is a full capacity and additional personnel at the NEL Aeronautics campus. They're providing a full array of services required in the product support contract. However, the lack of funding to procure space is hampering the delivery of the aircraft and components. On the medium utility helicopter, the current maintenance contract ends this year in March. And similarly here, Chair, the liquidity crisis within DNEL is causing the delay with regards to the execution of various activities by subcontractors, because those subcontractors are requesting full payments before commencement of any work. And as a mitigation, AMSCO has resorted to paying those particular subcontractors directly. Regarding the funding concerns, the current Air Force budget for the Oryx helicopter caters for fixed costs, and there's limited provision for on-demand funds that are required to get the unserviceable and land replacement units serviceable. And similarly here, the lack of funds is negatively impacting on the aircraft availability. In terms of the MRO, insofar as the Oryx is concerned, there is full capacity and additional personnel at the NEL Aeronautics campus, providing also an array of services required for the product system support contract. Further, the lack of funding to procure spares, and this hampers the delivery of the aircraft as well as the components. I will then deal with the C-130. You see, Chair, what seems to be the common denominator throughout the issue of the serviceability of this aircraft? It's funding. Similarly with the C-130, the contract ends in June 2022, and the current SERV budget allocation for the C-130 needs to be increased in order to ensure a better serviceability of the aircraft. Due to the age of the aircraft, there are certain obsolete items, and this adds to the higher cost to maintain the system. Also, due to the low budget, higher cost overhaul items, such as the engines, are delayed, and which has a direct impact on the serviceability of the aircraft. Chair, on the MRO servicing capacity, there is limited capacity of the MRO at Waterkloof, which is meant primarily by the DNEL Aeronautics. With this limited capacity, there's always a backlog of servicing of this particular aircraft. As I said, Chair, the common denominator here is the issue of the shortage of funding. I'll then move to the VVIP aircraft, starting with the BBJ. The current maintenance contract ends in November 2022. The BBJ underwent sea checks, which was completed on the 13th of February this week, and needs to go for a full body respray at South African Airways Technical, and is due to be released back to service on or before the 28th of March 2022. Chair, the sea checks and the additional tasks, i.e. the shower repair, the carpet replacement, and the payment has delayed the delivery of the aircraft by approximately 2 months. However, as I indicated, we have been given the assurance by the contractor that the aircraft will be delivered or made available to the staff on or before the 28th of March 2022. Chair, of importance to note is that the BBJ is only funded until the 31st of March 2022, and if the AFA is not approved on time, this poses a risk as at 1 April 2022. As I've indicated, the issue of funding, Chair, the lack of multi-year funding remains a challenge on the support system contract for the BBJ. I'll then move to the Falcon contract, which also ends on the on 31st of March 2022. The first Falcon 50 chase is serviceable and available to the SAF. The next Falcon 50, the modification was completed in November 2022. The aircraft is currently undergoing routine maintenance activities. The batteries are posing a challenge to make the aircraft available to the SAF, and the SAF is currently re-blocking the batteries, and the aircraft will therefore be available to the SAF according to the contractor after 2 days. 2 days after the contractor has received the batteries from the SAF. The Falcon 900, Chair, the modification is currently standing at 98% complete. The inspection task requested by the Air Force has resulted in new demands being raised and must be addressed to allow for ground tests to take place. And the aircraft is awaiting the Civil Aviation Authority approval for the modifications that have been undertaken. Chair, we are just alerting to the committee to take note that these are very old aircraft, which were delivered around approximately 1982 and 1995, and this has resulted in the unfunded rather. Project Moafi has resulted in the South African Air Force really, continuing to fly a very old BVIP fleet. I'll move to the LUH, the light helicopter, light utility helicopter. The contract for the airframe, as well as the engines, will come to an end in September and December 2021, respectively. Chair, on the LUH, the lack of multi-year funding has made it difficult to plan and undertake repairs and overhauls of long lead items, i.e. the gear boxes, as well as the engine. The budget, the committee should note, is insufficient, and the allocation per year has to be revised in line with the maintenance planning requirements. Similarly, here, the LUH, it's 20 years old and requires a mid-life upgrade to cater for mandatory engine maintenance as well as the avionic upgrades. On the BK-117, the contract ends on the 31st of March 2022. There is currently no order extension received from the client beyond the 31st of March. Similarly here, the issue of funding has become an issue, Chair. The lack of multi-year funding has made it difficult to plan and undertake repairs and overhauls of the long lead items. the budget is similarly insufficient and the allocation per year chair has to be revised to be in line with the maintenance plan requirements. Equally here, the committee should note that the fleet is 40 years old and requires a midlife upgrade to cater for the obsolete avionics. On the caravans, Chair, the contract for the maintenance of the caravans ends on the 31st of December 2021. There is currently no order extension received beyond the 31st of March 2022. However, AMSCO is currently busy with the bid evaluation process. We've gone out on an RFB for the maintenance of this craft, and we are of the view that the contract will be adjudicated and placed in the in April 2022. Funding concerns similarly here, the lack of funding has resulted in the SAF only maintaining 6 aircraft only, and therefore additional funds are required to service the other 2 aircraft as in storage. Similarly, the budget is insufficient, and the allocation per year has to be revised to be in line with the maintenance planning requirements. Equally here, the fleet is 40 years old and therefore requires a mid-life upgrade to cater for the obsolete avionics. Chair, I'll move to the light utility, the cover the light utility aircraft. The maintenance contract ends on the 19th of December 2021, and there's currently no extension received beyond or extension requests are received beyond to cater for the maintenance beyond 31st of March 2022. However, I should add that that AMSCO has issued a request for bid in order to appoint a contractor to undertake the necessary maintenance activities. So we are in the procurement process to appoint a contractor in this regard. The fleet is 40 years old and also requires a midlife upgrade to cater for the obsolete avionics. On the C-47, there is no contract in place as we speak for the Dakota C-47. We have received a revised user requirement statement from the client, and we are in the process of embarking on a procurement process in order to appoint a contractor in this regard. Chair, equally here, the fleet is very old, 8 years, and requires a major upgrade, also for the obsolete avionics. The deferred project may see the acquisition of the maritime patrol aircraft. Chair, we are of the view that more funding is required in order to acquire this particular capability. I will then move to the Gripen. Chair, there's no support contract in place, as you'd know. However, AMSCO has been engaged with SAP on numerous, contract negotiations to arrive at an acceptable baseline. Due to the changing SAF requirements to suit the budget, the process would be restarted to ensure that the future contract will ensure, efficient operational aircraft fleet. Regarding funding, Chair, as I indicated, the shortage of funding it's an issue with regards to the serviceability of the Gripen aircraft. The current Air Force budget allocation has been inadequate since the inception of the state support contract. The revised offer from the OEM, that is SAP, is really beyond the budget of the Air Force, and really share more funding is really required in this instance. The aircraft is, as you know, is more than 20 years old and requires a mid-life upgrade, which is currently underfunded. The Gripen requires to be equipped with a beyond visual range and missile to be an effective air superior aircraft. And therefore, equally here, Chair, to undertake all these activities, the common denominator here is the lack or the shortage of funding. The Hawk, the leading fighter trainer aircraft, the support contract ends on the 30th of August 2024. The current funding share provided by the SAF is to maintain 9 aircraft, and additional funding will be required to maintain the full complement of the 24 aircraft that was procured at the time. Now, Chair, there's limited capacity and or resources at Mercado Combat School for the maintenance of this particular aircraft. And equally here, the fleet is more than 20 years old and requires a midlife upgrade. The King Air, the maintenance contract is valid until the 31st of March 2022, and AMSCO is currently busy with the bid evaluation process in order to have a contract in place in April 2022. Chair, equally here, the lack of funding that resulted in the SAF only maintaining only 3 aircraft, and therefore additional funds are required to service the other King 300 aircraft. The budget provided is insufficient to complete the avionics upgrade of this aircraft, as well as to standardize the engines. You'll see what comes across throughout the this particular presentation, Chair, is the age of the fleet. It's quite evident that the fleet is quite old. The King Air aircraft is 40 years old and requires a midlife upgrade to cater for the obsolete avionics. The deferred project TPS also needs to be funded to ensure that the fleet is replaced with a cost-effective modern utility fleet. The Lynx helicopters, the contract, the maintenance contract ends on the 31st of January 2023. Chair, the Lynx aircraft, we are awaiting spares for this aircraft due to the late approval of the financial authority. The long lead items will not be delivered in this current financial year, but we envisage that the spares will be delivered mid-2022-23 financial year. In order to mitigate this, the funds for the long lead item spares will be rephased to the 2022-23 financial year in order to avoid any delays. Equally here, the maritime patrol helicopter is 40 years old and also requires a mid-life upgrade to cater for the obsolete avionics, as well as the maritime radar. Also requires funding. Chair, the last two slides deals with the PC-7s as well as the PC-12. Chair, on the PC-12, there are also funding concerns. The reduced funding that has resulted in the Air Force only maintaining very few aircraft And therefore, you know, additional funds are required to service the fleet in order to increase availability. Lastly, Chair, I will deal with the PC-12. The maintenance contract ends on the 31st August 2022. The aircraft, Chair, will become unserviceable on the 25th of February 2022 due to a scheduled replacement of the life limited components, Chair. And equally here, the reduced funding has resulted in the SAF only maintaining a few aircraft and, under this contract. And therefore, additional funds are required to service the fleet in order to increase availability. Thank you, Chair. That takes me to the end of the presentation. Thank you.
I nearly said, comrades, colleagues, but before you accuse the CEO for, you know, adding the information that was not in their original presentation, I want to say is that after going through their presentation in preparation for this meeting, I went back to the CEO and said I'm not happy with the three slides on the maintenance of our aircraft fleet, and asked him to upgrade the information. The three slides have now increased to about 15 or 16 slides. All valuable, critical, critical information that will actually assist the committee in conducting its oversight over the department. I want to say this, that you mentioned about 2,200 aircraft or so, and in your presentation you say about 50 or so out of 200 plus or minus 200 aircraft are serviceable, are in the state of serviceability. And I hope I've done my calculation well. And yeah, so that's not so good a picture. Is the chief of the Air Force in the meeting?
We don't have the chief of the Air Force, the chairperson, but we have the deputy chief of the Air Force.
Oh, that's General Buthelezi.
Major General Buthelezi.
Yes, Major General Buthelezi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you. Do we have the Chief of the Navy in the meeting? I want when comrade...
yes, Buthelezi, we do have Chairperson.
The Chief of the Navy. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Chief of the Army?
We don't have him as far as I can, but I can also check if I can activate him right away.
Please, if you could try, and we're not anticipating that these discussions will, get to this level. I thought they should be in the meeting when we discuss this. But if you can't get hold of him, it's not a problem, because he might have not been advised or was not thinking that he was needed to be in the meeting. I would be happy with that. Colleagues, I now open the platform for discussion. I will comment at the end. I see only one hand so far. Let me take that hand. It's Mr. Mara's hand.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, this is actually an overwhelming feeling that one has when, you know, after this presentation. And maybe now some people will understand why I complained so many times in the past about the state of our defense, the equipment, our air force, et cetera, et cetera. Now, hopefully people will understand and see the enormous dilemma that we find ourselves in. It's actually a sad feeling, because it shows that we are so vulnerable, for any onslaught by anybody. And it looks like our capabilities is just gone, basically. And that is what we have feared for in the past, saying that we will reduce our air force to just a aircraft wing, not an air force, air wing, and the same with the Navy, to a water wing and not a Navy. And it shows that we have to do something very, very quickly. If I can start with just a couple of questions for clarity, Chairperson, with your indulgence. Obviously starting to say just that, very happy that Biro and Hotel seems to be on track. At least there's some projects going well. I just want to find out on that, both those two projects, they say they are fully funded. Where is that money at this stage? You'll recall that the CFO in the past said the money is not with them. Is the money with Arms Corps then, and or how, where is that fund to make sure that is not being utilized for something else? Then in terms of Hoefijzer, I just wanted to get clarity. On the one slide, it was shown that we have already paid 7.6 billion rand. But then the advance payments to Danel seems only 1.7, 1.4 million. To whom is that the difference being paid? I just wanted to make sure about that. To whom was that being paid if it was not part of the advance payments? Then also in terms of the bank guarantees, obviously more than often the government or the National Treasury must be the surety or providing surety for those bank guarantees. Is that the case, or is it unsecured guarantees? I'm just asking that question because if there is going to be a legal case and a liquidation, if the banks goes after Danel, it means that they're actually going after the government. So it's six of the one and half a dozen of the others. So in other words, where I'm getting is, if government has provided the surety for those guarantees, then it means there must be a discussion with National Treasury, say, we've got a choice. Either that shortfall must be funded somehow, or you will anyway pay it because of your sureties. So I just wanted to get that, you know, just for me. Then in terms of scenario two, if scenario two if we choose scenario two on Hoefijzer, what is the practical implications immediate and then in the meantime of that? And then, who will then take over that responsibility for the manufacturing? If it is stopped with the Danel. Then in terms of the fleet, yeah, that's shocking. And it's a very, very bad state that we are in. I want to start with the second last slide. You'll recall that those Pilatus, those PC aircraft, that is for training of our pilots. That's probably one of the reasons why we are sending our trainee pilots to Cuba and Russia, because we can't do it in Langebaan. And my information is, and it's now been confirmed, all of that 35, basically 33 of them, is grounded. What are the reasons that they are grounded other than budget in terms of providing for operational cost? Is it in any way a difference with the OEM on the maintenance of the contracts, and why? In terms of the maintenance contracts of all those slides, it seems like either has come to an end at the 31st of December 2021, or is very close to the to being terminated or to its end, either in March or April, or very close to it. I think it's only two contracts that will expire, 2023 and 2024. Why was the contracts not being put in place well in advance of the end of the maintenance contract period? What are the reasons that you are struggling to get that concluded with the OEMs, especially? Is it certain requirements on your case? Is it the requirements that they must have a BBBE partner in South Africa and they are not pleased with that? What is the situation with the Cuban mechanics? You'll recall, Chairperson, that at one stage the minister has said that part of the Cubans that is in South Africa under Cusano is also working on aircraft and aircraft maintenance. But we all know that the OEM normally has got a requirement that foreign nationals are not allowed to work on aircraft like this without their consent and approval. Is that a problem, and has that manifested, up to now? If I can ask, in all the cases, funding has been mentioned, and our capabilities has been, you know, wiped out because of funding. How much funding do we need to maintain our aircraft at this stage? How much funding is required from this budget in an ideal situation, in a realistic situation? And then we haven't even touched the Navy. And what is our alternatives? What is the alternatives at this stage? We obviously cannot allow, in terms of the infantry fighting vehicle or the armored personnel carriers, what the alternative can be. How do they see that we will upgrade the current RATL, and how can that be used in the place of Hoefeister? Then the last question is, are there any legal cases or litigation currently between the Swedes, the Swiss, the British with the NEL and or Arms Corps and or government that is also hampering the case of all these very essential pieces of equipment? Because we have to find a solution, Chair. We have to find a solution. We cannot allow our country to go down the drain and seeing that this happens. I will stop there because I can talk the whole day about this, but I'm just very, very concerned about where we are. And it seems like either National Treasury doesn't realize that, or they are not convinced somehow by the executive to provide us the funding to at least keep the bare minimum capabilities for our South African National Defence Force. Thank you, Chair, very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murray. And Mr. Mutle.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to everyone on the platform. I just missed some part of Honorable Mare's question, but you'll forgive me if I repeat probably some of the things that he has raised. I'm more concerned around Project Hoefeister. Maybe I must firstly, Chair, appreciate your efforts to ensure that there's more flesh to the presentation around the serviceability of aircraft or capabilities used by the Air Force. On Project Hoefeister, my concern is one, and I want to agree with Honorable Murray on one aspect that I've captured, that we cannot allow the situation to be dire. And I think in one of the meetings we have raised the concern to say to Arms Corps, they must consider terminating the contract with DNEL, because we can't continue to pump money into the project that is way, way behind schedule. As indicated by the report of Dr. Jan van Ransbeck, he indicated that the project is behind schedule with around or more than a decade. And it says a lot. Even the technology that we were envisaging to have out of that project might be outdated if the project is way, way, way behind schedule. Therefore, my concern is one, Chair. We have long taken a resolution as the African National Congress that DNEL must be relocated from public enterprise to DOD. And this termination as a cancellation of a contract is indicated by the presenter that it has got negative implications, which might lead to liquidation of DNEL. And it's not something that we must be happy about. And it's something that we need to put our heads together and see how best do we save the resources that we have to ensure that whatever that we have put in for this project is put into good use with the little that they have achieved without us being selfish and allowing DNEL to go down the drain. And I think this will then require Minister and the department as a team, maybe together with us, to put our heads together to ensure that we save both the project and we also ensure that we save DNEL, because the demise of DNEL will mean the demise of the whole defense industry. And we can't afford, Chair, because those capabilities, I think, in the continent, is only us who've got those capabilities. And we need to do everything in our power to ensure that we salvage those capabilities. That is my concern, Chair, and the point that I wanted to raise in this regard. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mose. colleagues, thank you very much. It's such a grim picture. You know, a country maintains, any country, in fact, yeah, any country maintains its core defense capability, because the future is unknown. 10 years ago, we did not have the challenges that we are experiencing just north of us, north of South Africa. From 1994, 1995, some of the things were unthinkable. But today, we can't, the same cannot be said. So that therefore requires South Africa to maintain and, where necessary, upgrade and replace its equipment and weaponry. And for that to happen, the country needs to invest in it. In other words, it must consider this as an investment. The denial that the colleagues are talking about is facing serious financial challenges. And now we can see the impact of that. These challenges are threatening the project support and maintenance program that DNEL is providing to keep our fleet at the required operational capabilities. These challenges have affected the supply of personnel. It's been was mentioned here, spares for maintenance, now challenging our aircraft serviceability. So the underfunding we've been complaining about, it's another very serious challenge. And we can see now it's starting to affect other support, system support contracts, which are now constrained to provide maintenance, repairs, or overhaul of our aircraft, plus the midlife upgrade that is now necessary to put some of those aircraft that they require their operational capability. So these are the challenges we faced. I think the presentation was good in that. I think we should thank the CFO. It's been mentioned by the speakers. Thank the department. We thank you, Minister Esekdef, that you have made funding, sufficient funding available to preserve the other two projects, the Project Bureau and Project Hotel. But the Wolf-Yester project remains a serious challenge. Right now, our defense is using, this was meant to replace the fleet that was acquired in 1976. That fleet now is obsolete. It required, replacement long time ago. The Ratel fleet. Now, unless we do something, we made this funding and made available, I don't take comfort from what is being presented by the CEO of AMSCO, that fleet, that 1976 fleet, can now, in the modern world, still fit deliver to operate at the capability required by the modern world. I don't know. If you consider the systems that were installed back then, whether the systems that they are in the market will still fit with the current fleet and keep it at its operational capability, at the required operational capability. I cannot say it. And so I can't say it for now. So these are our concerns. That's the reason why we thought we should bring this issue up. Firstly, starting by looking back at the discussions we've covered on this. Firstly, at the time when there was no funding for anything, but we pushed up until there is funding, sufficient funding, at least for the two projects. But there's still a Wolf-Yester that is still facing challenges, and but more compounded more by the DNEL financial challenges. So colleagues, so these are the issues that we should just have a discussion on this, and questions have been raised, and but before I call upon the CEO, or the minister, SecDef and the CEO to respond. Let me check if the chief of the Navy has anything. At least he should be smiling. He should be smiling, even though I know that there are still some challenges here and there. And Chief of the Navy, do you have any comment to make? Will coming into life of these inshore patrol what you call vessels help you in doing, in performing and your duties as mandated by the Constitution? I know you have had to reduce your hours at sea, and you had to reduce your patrol hours. And Chief of the Navy?
Thank you, Jefferson, and good morning to the minister and all the members who are in this platform. Jefferson, yes, from my side, I can say partially I'm happy because of the project is now a success, especially Biro. As we speak this morning, actually yesterday, the vessel is in Simonstown doing the sea trials. At the moment, the OC is happy the way the trials are running. But yes, the Biro will somehow assist in terms of the patrols of our waters. But taking into consideration that how vast or large our waters are, we are really in serious crisis, Chairperson. You will remember when we briefed the Portfolio Committee on Defense, we indicated that our state is in dire. We are in serious challenges, and we hope that in future the country will manage to assist both the Air Force and the Navy to be able to do what we are mandated to do by the country. But at the moment, we are in serious crisis, Chairperson. That's what I can say. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chief of the Navy and the Deputy Chief of the Air Force.
Chairperson, can I just say that the Deputy Chief of the Air Force has left. We now have the Chief of the Air Force himself, General Mbambo, is here.
Oh, General. General, good afternoon. We've just received a presentation on the serviceability of your aircraft. You have over 200 aircraft. Only about 50 or so are in a serviceable state. We are concerned. Do you want to make a comment?
Chairperson, good morning, Minister of Defense, and all the members that are attending in this platform. Good morning to you all. Chairperson, yes, I can confirm that the situation within the South African Air Force is not where it's supposed to be in as far as combat readiness is concerned and also the required hours of flying. It is correct that the Air Force can be as powerful and combat ready based on the number of flying hours that we can fly. From the situation where we are at the moment, because of all these challenges, we are annually flying close to about 5,000 plus hours, which is not actually the required number of hours for the South African Air Force that we have. Also, I can confirm that the situation within the training up initial training where we are training our young pilots. We are not having the enough platforms at the moment. It's also because of the other aircraft that are not serviceable at this stage. We still need new platforms for supporting the South African Navy. We know that it's important for us to have the eye in the sky in as far as the maritime patrol is concerned. Many things are happening in our shores because we do not have the required capability to monitor that side. The current capability that we have in the air transport for maritime is more than 60 years old. And we cannot hope to patrol properly and have a deterrent if you have got such a weak capability. Yes, the situation is very dire from our side as the South African Air Force. The biggest concern, Chair, I must say, is that the developments that we are witnessing around the issue of DENER is actually putting more strain and risk to us as the South African Air Force. Because as you know, Chair and members, that the DENER is the original equipment manufacturer for most of our aircraft systems, specifically in the rotary capability, which is the helicopters. DENER is the original equipment manufacturer for the Rooivalk. And also they are supporting us in terms of the C-130 for servicing. So what we are watching on the horizon is a great worry for us, because if then DENER actually goes under, we have actually very, very thin opportunities or actually maneuvering space. How are we going to continue business if DENER actually goes under? So all of this, Chair, in a nutshell, actually compounds the challenges that we are facing at the South African Air Force at the moment. I submit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General. Do we have the Chief of the Army, Secretary?
We don't have the Chief of the Army. We have General Mgeto, who comes from that environment, and Admiral Morris. They have dealt with the issues of Esther Jefferson.
Okay. All right. I don't know who may want to comment from their side. I don't know in terms of...
General Mketo. We can start with General
Mketo. Okay. General Mketo.
Okay. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to all the members of the Portfolio Committee, SecDef, and all the service chiefs that are part of the meeting. I'm Brigadier General Mkedo, Director Army Acquisition. I believe on the agenda, because I have not, I'm sorry to say, I've just joined the meeting now. I have not even seen the agenda of your meeting, but I believe on the agenda, there is an item there that covers Project Hoof Aster.
General, let me not throw you into the deep end. I'm sorry. I understood that some of you may not be in the meeting. Maybe let me not even ask you to comment. Maybe you may want to respond to the questions. I don't want you to I hope you stay with us on that one. Do you still want to comment? Let me not throw you into the deep end. There is a hand of Philip, the chair of the board, who wants to comment. And before we start answering the questions, you may then come in, General, to deal with the questions as well. The chair of the board.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, it's just a brief comment because I really welcome the remarks you've made and other members of the committee. You know, we've been, this board was put in place just over a year ago. And I think we've made a number of attempts now to try and highlight some of these issues which the committee is addressing. And I just wanted to say that, you know, as the board of OMSCOR and the executives, we've worked very hard to make sure that within the constraints we can deliver, you know. But I think the reality is the funding issue is of such crucial importance that I just need to emphasize it. In our last board meeting, we had a long discussion about it. And we appreciate all the challenges that the country faces, you know, in terms of the budget and the fiscus. But I think it's been said, Chair, that unless something is done about this, we are going to lose our sovereign capability, our combat readiness, and in fact, we will have wasted an enormous amount of money. I mean, Hoefijzer just being one example. And I'd like to suggest, Chair, that I think the time has come for us to find a way to have some kind of a strategic discussion with the executive, with all the chiefs of the various services, with members of the portfolio committee. And I know time doesn't allow it today, but there are potential alternatives in terms of funding if we are creative. I think Denel can be restructured, and there's already been some good proposals made in that regard. So I'd just like to put it there, Chair, to say I'm not suggesting you don't answer the questions and everything now, but I really think we need to set aside time and seriously go through what has to be done, what the options are, because if we don't, we're going to fail in our duty as citizens of this country, Chair.
All right. No, thank you very much. I hope the minister would reflect on your proposal. We're not expecting her to comment on it now. Minister, over to you. See how we deal with the comments and questions. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. One almost has nothing to add, except one of the things that I think as a country, and I think Deputy Minister will bear witness, is that one of the reasons why Parliament did not have issues in the 90s with the recapitalization of the defense force at that point was that Parliament itself was united and supportive of the Department of Defense, that it went all out to actually buy legitimacy for the new defense force. Sadly, these days, the unity which used to be there amongst politicians in looking out for the defense force is very weak these days. Because, Chair, if you cast your mind back 2 years ago, anytime we look at what is happening in the defense force, we politicize issues. So that is my first point. If we begin to look at what is there, and firstly, it is for me that we need to look out and deal with inefficiencies and weed them out, whether they are in the uniform side or in the civilian side. It is to fix our financials. It is to see where we can divert funds to do things like maintenance. Now, we hit denial, we hit AMSCO when it comes to maintenance. But the fact of the matter is that just sometimes having looked and conversed with one or two officers, officer commanding, one begins to understand that, you know, we don't even take this rank seriously. If I'm officer commanding, I'm responsible to run a base. That means I must know about the finances and how they work. I must know about the maintenance. I must have access, because I can't supervise somebody who's responsible for assets if I don't know. And why do you want to supervise assets if you do not know when they are due for maintenance and not due for maintenance? Are you able to tell when you need stocks or not? Because I think fundamentally, right from the 90s, we missed the point there. The issues of ensuring that we maintain. We made a second serious blunder, Comrade Tabang. You will remember the C squared, I squared case, where the Department of Defense, where AMSCO had poured in money to get certain capabilities which went into our ships. And then at the, when we started buying, we just said to them, take a hike, South Africans, we will see better what we can find out there. So I'm saying now that for me is the beginning of the collapse of Jinel. Because we didn't keep a proper eye. I can say to the committee that since I came in, we've been talking, we've been busting our heads. We've even looked at whether in the beginning, in the 90s, we understood how Jinel itself was put together. Because until we go right back there and understand what is happening there, sometimes we might even want to rescue something that we shouldn't be rescued. Sometimes we think it is standing out there and independent when in fact we own it. So these are the questions that we are looking at, because you are not going to begin to look at rescuing Jinel unless you've really, when you have turned it upside down, looked at the weaknesses and said, yes, I want to keep this thing. Do I want to keep it in these colors? No. But I want to say that part of our biggest weaknesses in the defense force is maintenance. And so we will have a discussion. I thought I had seen CLOC earlier on. We will have to have a discussion about issues of maintenance, because where I am, they should be located somewhere with CLOC. You can't be responsible for buying without looking at maintenance of whatever it is. So we need to be looking at a discussion, I agree with Ntate Dexter, where we should be sitting around and saying, what can we do? Now, I hear, you know, it is beyond whatever. So why are we keeping the carcasses? What can we do with the carcasses? And even before Jinel, AMSCO jumps in, one of the things that concerns me is if you walk in at that time, you remember the week I became minister, I also had to rush down and go and see the trucks burned. It is how we actually look at that which we think is still serviceable, that which we think we can still sell to get money and divert the money elsewhere. So we've got to be really saying, we are going to sit down, we are going to come up with a plan with AMSCO, with the department. We will then approach the treasury and the head of state and say, this is the plan. Even before we go there, it might be wise for us, when chairpersons, when we have this, to come back to you and say, this is the direction we think we are going to go to, so that Parliament understands that we do not want to go into a shopping spree and just buy because. So that, you lessen the noise in the public, because Parliament itself is leading the debate in how we need to restructure and rearm properly. The fact of the matter is that your equipment is not just your equipment, because you are also, with all of us as all the arms in Tatas, we are still the biggest and the strongest defense force in the region. And a lot is expected from us. So we do need to find a way of maybe a weekend away, But I would have thought that AMSCO would have already had an idea which they can say to us, we think this is how we must deal with this. I am aware and I have been met by one of the companies that is cycling around, as I say, cycling around at just how big a slice of dinner they can grab. Now, some of us are very jealous about your sovereignty, but also about just how certain things must be domestic issues with domestic ownership and so on and so forth. So the issue of rearmament, because there's no other better term, if you look at the at all the forearms, you would have to do a revision. But if we go to Parliament and we say, and we want all this in the next 10 years, we're not going to get it because the economy is just not growing. The dependency on the state by a private household has increased because the economy is not growing, jobs are being lost, and so on and so forth. So we need to come out with a tidy, well-thought-out package which South Africa can swallow, which will not say we just warmongers who want to rearm and whatever. But in the meantime, we need to be happy that we are getting the patrol ships. We need to be looking out for we are getting those small ones. We need to be getting the one that will enable us to have better eyes, better patrol in the ocean so that we can cover at least that one. Comrade Thabang will remember the discussions in the 90s around reviving the shipbuilding capacity of South Africa. And that was also introduced by us as Parliament because we thought at that time we're buying these frigates so expensively. Should we not actually be starting to look at Dinel, at AMSCO and its capacity at that time, having technicians and whatever, whatever, and looking at South Africa's own? So maybe we need to be looking at those things, because if you had pushed on, you might have had better option of servicing your own fleet right here at home. It also says that when we enter into any international contract, we must really, really keep an eye on these contracts, because these problems that we have with the ships, what is this country? Servicing the frigates. You begin to see how even when you think you are buying from people you can trust, we just remain an African country that can continue to be exploited into perpetuity. If you have an issue now, after 10, 20 years of maintenance contracts with the original suppliers, it says to you that, in fact, we need to wake up and we need to be looking at using South African universities to begin to produce. I don't think that the future defense forces will rely more on persons. I think we are going to begin to want to look at technology more, but ensure that the person begins to be trained to supervise whatever technology we do. And I think that some of us who were chairpersons in the 90s, Comrade Chair, must also take the blame. We bought into this nonsense internationally where America, the big countries, were telling us you can't go beyond 1.2 of your GDP in allocating the budget for the defenses. When at that time, robotics was being introduced in the U.S., and they were pouring billions into research and production. So sometimes we are naive because we just look at our plate here. And I share the concerns that Ndate Mare keeps on raising. But if we are going to raise it and look at it at just these people who are in power, then we defeat the purpose. We must look at all the mistakes. We must look at the weaknesses. We must be able to come together and say, how do we correct this? We must get out of this thing as defense where we think that if it breaks, we knock at somebody and at AMSCO, we knock at that. Because we must be having systems in place which will say to us in the next 3 years, this thing, Nakanjani, has to be replaced here and there and there. I mean, I'm quite peeved with being told that a Roy Falk can't be used because we need a particular screw and we don't have it. So you can't use that Roy Falk. It's not a major thing. It's one part. I'm saying that we have weaknesses. But if we put our heads together, Chairperson, we can overcome this. But then, of course, we are going to need your help. And that is why I've put on my begging cap that unless we have Parliament supporting us when we ask for more funds, we're not going to win. Because, as I said, there are competing things there. And it says to me that we must also have, in that conference of ours, we must also say, what do we need to sacrifice in the short term to ensure that our budget can go a little bit longer and further? Now, we're going to put on your plate at some point the maintenance of the barracks and the discipline of the Defence Force. Because you're not going to enforce discipline in the Defence Force when you are forcing them to stay in dilapidated buildings and they then stay at home, because even just punctuality begins to be affected. And in the military, if you can't have a soldier who respects the time, forget about the other things. So we have a basket of needs as a defense. And as I said when I became minister, the focus must also be about that ordinary soldier, not the boss. The boss is fine, he's driven. It is that ordinary soldier's welfare that we must worry about. It is that man who is in the border, who can deal with the rain and equipment to help them see better at night and be protected from the rain is not expensive. So I'm saying the priorities within the defense must also be turned upside down so that we can say with this minimum, we can achieve this in this financial year and push for it. If it means that some of the things that are nice to have, that we can suspend ourselves from them, then we need to be able to agree. We suspend in this project because this little money inside it will enable us to get X, Y, and Z. If we are thinking that Treasury will be able to give us every cent that we need to just do the maintenance of all the aircrafts that we need in one financial year or two, no, they're not going to be able to, because we know. But we need to be able to come out with a tight plan that they can buy into and then make sure that every cent is spent the way it should be. And when that cent is not spent in the way it should be, that we will deal with any what does the word know, a vacancy, any deviations from the set plan. So I would say that it is frustrating, but I am not hopeless. I think if we put our heads together, we can really turn the corner around. It won't take a year, but we can start now planning and doing the minimum that we can. Chair, I have nothing better than what I have said to say to the committee. It is just that our resolve to renew, to see where we can scrape savings and to fix things. Thank you, Chair.
Minister, we share the sentiments and please be assured of our support for more money to the department. It's been our call for all these years, at least since I was part of this committee, that this department is underfunded and we need more money. And we're being exposed now. We're being exposed in all the the missions that we're participating in. It's just that it has not come to the surface. We're being exposed even internally in the operations we are doing. And we also received disturbing news when we released all soldiers during the COVID, the manner in which our soldiers were being transported around, I mean, in vehicles that were not fit for purpose. We visited the border. They're still using vehicles that were like a stopgap measure then, because they were promised more vehicles that were suitable for the conditions on the border. So that has not happened. They call them starter pack or something. I can't remember the vehicles that they are using. You know, that they, you know, require, you know, maintenance even when it is not due, simply because of the conditions that they operate in. So SecDef, we thank the minister. SecDef, you will then deal with the specific questions that were raised. You are going to be supported, SecDef. You should be, you are lucky, because there is Lieutenant General Yam in your midst. There is Vice Admiral Hlongwane, the Chief of the Navy, he spoke earlier on. There's also Lieutenant Mbambo, Chief of the Air Force, he spoke earlier on. We also have Major General Telezi and the Admiral Morris. Team will support the responses. And then also have, please switch off your mic. And you also have the team from AMSCO. So it's over to you, colleagues, to deal with this question and bring the meeting to the end. So, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that Minister has put everything so eloquently, so it's almost like I'm spoiling the broth. But I'll try to address some of the issues that are here. Chairperson, I think that, for instance, there was a question, and unfortunately, I also had to move out to try and get a Sea Army to come in, so I missed some of the questions that were raised by Honorable Mare. But I think that what we will do is that we will quantify the funding that is needed for the servicing of all the aircraft, because he was asking a question whether we will be able to provide all that. But I think that maybe one of the things we may want to do as a step further is that, Chairperson, besides only the issues of the servicing of the aircraft, remember that we've got, we used to have the a defense account that deals with the procurement of sovereign and strategic capabilities. Now, that was cut down, and last year, we managed to be given 1 billion. And that's why on the issues of the Bayro and the hotel, we were able then to use that money to actually deal with whatever was the shortfall for both Project Bayro and Project Hotel. However, I just want to state that the amount that we paid in full for what was quoted for those two projects. However, the amounts for those projects are also in foreign currency. So we may be affected by issues of foreign currency fluctuation depending on what the exchange rate is going to be. But at the time when we got the money, we had then been able to pay everything. But as we say, this will help us at least to do a little bit of the work. We still need to have some more vessels that can help us take our work forward. And I think earlier on Sea Navy, when he responded, he was able to eloquently actually state that in as much as we have this, maybe it gives us a little bit of respite, but then it also means that we still need to build up some of our capacities. Chairperson, we do have our colleagues here who will deal with the issues of whether we can upgrade the rattle or not. On the issue of the litigation on Dinel, the litigation was coming largely from South Green Tech, and it is because they had invested an amount of about 120 million in Dinel land systems. And that is actually the component of Dinel that deals with the project of Wolf Eastern. At the time, they wanted to liquidate the entire Dinel in order for them to be able to recoup the 120 million. And I know that at some stage we were able to keep that at bay. I'm not sure at this point whether this matter has surfaced, but I haven't heard anything about it. So I think at the time, whatever we tried to do to deal with it has assisted us a little bit. Chairperson, one of the issues that we need to deal with in terms of also of our maintenance of some of these capabilities that we have. I think Honorable Mare was telling us that the vehicles that were going to be replaced by the Wolf Aster, they were vehicles that were acquired in the 70s. Now, if then we have to repair some of those vehicles, we then get told that we have to use the original equipment manufacturer of those. Why can't we get this spare parts here at home? And it is one of the discussions that we had about 2 weeks ago to say that really we should be able to get parts from home here that we can fix, but we are also able to get them quickly so that then we don't have quite a period lapse in time before we actually get these ones. But even besides that, we should be even at least in the smallest way possible propping up our own defense industry rather than waiting for long protracted periods of time to get these spares even coming from abroad when we are really propping up other countries to build up their own defense industry. So that is one of the things that we needed to deal with. We have also, even at the point that I came into the department, there was that decision to say that there is no way we can continue with Wolf Aster. And as it was eloquently put before, that this Wolf Aster was from 2006. And I'm sure from a technology point of view, had we been able, with all the resources being available, would have come up with a state-of-the-art combat vehicle. But if we are 16 years down the line and we have not been able to complete that, it becomes very difficult to really even think it will be the state-of-the-art combat vehicle. But what we are then saying, as the minister alluded earlier on that, there are people, you know, who have been making the inquiries and things like that. But we are also looking from the departmental point of view to say we have put in a lot of money already. We cannot, even if it is impossible for us to proceed with Project Wolf Aster now, what is it that we can be able to recoup from that? Now, this Wolf Aster was going to unfold in two phases, the design and development phase, which is phase one, and the second phase, which was industrialization. Now, even the phase one of design and development has not yet been completed, but can we salvage the data packs that are there for the work that we have done, at least up to the point where we are at? We will also have to look at what the bank guarantees are there. And I know that in the presentation, there was a talk that there is the possibility of us recouping the 1.4 billion. So I think that we are hoping that we will not be able to lose everything. And indeed, Chairperson, in the department, we've been saying, what are the components of DINEL that are critical in the delivery of the mandate of defense as given to us by the Constitution. And maybe the focus should be on those ones and say, you know, chunk by chunk, let's see whether we can be able to salvage some of those things that are there. Yes, there was a talk about Dinel coming to the DOD. However, we know the state that it is in, and then we will need to actually have serious discussions around it, because to then say that, okay, they are where they are, take them as they are. There are lots of liabilities that come with that. But it's, I think the point I'm trying to make is that we can't just take it. We need to look at it, and then we see how it can be revised if it was to come to us, and what will be needed for us to be able to move forward. Chairperson, maybe in a nutshell, let me say that most of these capabilities that we procure, they normally go through a multi-year process. And I think WUF-ASTER is one of those. It shows from one year to the other how long it has been in the making. So that's why through the SDA, we could carry some of the money so that then we finish some of those these projects. There are a number of other projects as well where we have put the money, but we know that we are going to struggle to get all the required funding for us to be able to complete all those projects. So as we are saying, we need to actually do our own introspection, see what it is that we can live with, and see what it is that we cannot be able to live with. Because even within the context of DINEL, from whom we actually acquire most of our capabilities, we know that some of their divisions, they've actually also lost the bigger part of their personnel. And then also it becomes difficult for them to do maintenance for us. And as we were talking earlier on about those midlife maintenance that we need to do on some of our vehicles. But Chairperson, maybe before I hand over to the other people, the reason why we have a defense industry in South Africa is that any country worth its salt, it cannot rely on its defense capabilities to come from elsewhere besides them doing producing those capabilities. Because if then we are going to rely on those other countries to produce our defense capabilities, we may also be inviting problems for ourselves. And I think that with when DINEL was at its peak, it showed that it gave us a sense of comfort as a country, but also it meant that we were very much alive to the security issues. And I think that in a number of platforms, we have tried to draw our attention about the security situation and how dire the situation is. But as the minister says, we need to go back to the drawing board, see what we can do, see what is salvageable for us to be able to move forward. And then, Chairperson, if you may allow me, let me hand over to Admiral Norris, and I'm handing over to him in his capacity as the Acting Chief Defence Materiel. Because when we acquire through AMSCO, we work through our Defence Materiel Division, and he has been, even though he's acting now, he has been in it for a long time, so he will be able to respond to some of the questions. That is what I would like to say, Chairperson, in a nutshell. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sector, without knowing, you have covered almost 70 to 80% of the questions. And the minister in her comment just walked over all of them. And the only remaining questions, because I was trying to audit the questions now, is the bank guarantees. Will that not expose, if we call up our bank guarantee, will that not expose Treasury? In other words, who provided surety for this guarantee. And that question has not been answered. And then the second question was a training of a pilot in the context of about 33 aircraft being grounded, and whether was that the reason why we are training our pilots outside the country. There was a question of what are the alternatives. I think the minister touched on that question. Mr. Dexter also touched on that question. What are the alternatives? And in the presentation, the CEO of AMSCO also touched on the alternatives. I think we need to concretize that, but there's a suggestion that we need a meeting where we put our heads together, see what is possible. And but we'll delegate that to you, but you will, but we'll provide support. But let's see how it goes. Then Muhle, I think you also covered Muhle. The only question that was not dealt with, you've dealt with Muhle on the relocation of Tinel and what may be possible and what given the fact that they are in the state that they are, and there are components maybe that you may not, that are not really required to support your core capability. And but Mutle raised the issue of the systems that they may, that might be outdated insofar as the WHOFESTER project. I think you dealt with that question, but you may want to be specific on it. So those are the questions in the main that have not been directly dealt with. Whoever is now is going to respond, I invite the response to be direct and any other additional information that they may give us. Who is next on the list of
Admiral Morris?
Admiral Morris.
Chairperson, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Martin.
Just a question on whether there are any litigation processes currently going on, yes. You know, between SAP and the Dell and Arms Corps, and also in terms of the other aircraft like the Pilatus and the others as well, and the Griffins. Thank you.
Yes, I missed that one. My apologies, Mr. Murray. Admiral.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Minister of Defence, SIGDEF, and members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as AMSCO. Thank you, Chairperson, for raising this issue and highlighting the specific questions. Maybe just to augment the response in terms of the bank guarantees before AMSCO will most probably respond. I think it is worthwhile to note that if we call up the bank guarantees on Project WHOFESTER, as per the presentation, Chairperson, what will then happen? The bank will then automatically request the NEL to provide, actually to reimburse them, which they do not have, which actually will translate into liquidation. But what is paramount to this issue, Chairperson, is that it is not the only bank guarantee that we that's basically at the banks. On the NEL. We have got various other contracts, we've got various other projects with equipment, etc., members of this committee. So if a one bank guarantee gets recalled, that bank will automatically liquidate the NEL. So it is either we prevent such a situation, or we basically call up all guarantees of all the equipment in order to re-channel or reallocate that funding to the refurbishment of the air and the air force, the land worth, as well as the maritime assets, as alluded to previously during this discussion. Chairperson, my understanding is that these guarantees, which we has been reflected by AMSCO, is not linked to National Treasury, but they will confirm that. I'm sure that the CEO will confirm that. If I may just quickly just reflect, Chair, if I'm allowed, the Saab Grint of Defense application for the liquidation of the NEL. I think Mr. Mare's question, that matter is not yet resolved as far as I'm concerned. But I'm sure that AMSCO will have also more information. But that is not the only litigation which is currently pending. Thank you, Chairperson. I submit.
Thank you very much. I'm now CEO. You see, there is an issue of the collapse of the bank guarantee and the suggestion that in relation to warfare, some of the systems that they were able to produce or work that they were able to produce can then be preserved and be utilized elsewhere. And I don't know, you have been in the company and we have worked in the private sector for a very long time. And I don't know if that would be possible, because once there is a process of liquidating any company, and you see, the company is prohibited from preferring one creditor over another creditor or over other creditors. They rank all creditors to say these are the creditors. And if there's a 10 rand that is available from liquidation, they'll then see what each creditor was owed and then distribute that 10 rand in the proportions. So it will not be just that simple, because you were the main account, you were the main account for Dinel. You could easily be preferred or you'd be the first to take from the thing, and whatever is left over is then divided amongst the creditors. No, it's not like that. It's going to be in proportions depending of whatever the liquidators may actually realize as from whatever is left within Dinel to then pay off all the creditors. But you may want to comment on that. I'm saying so that we don't live in that full paradise, inverted commas, that if anything happens to them, whatever they've done for us, we could recoup and use it elsewhere. Doesn't work like that. It will be auctioned, and whatever is realized will then be put in a kitty to be paid out to all the creditors in the order that they will be ranked. But you will comment on that. You'll know these things better than I do. Thanks. Over to you, CEO.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to comment on, rather add on what Admiral Morris has just indicated. Yes, it's correct, Chair. These bank guarantees are mainly with the financial institutions, various banks. It's National Treasury is not party to any of these bank guarantees. But I will ask the CFO just to briefly touch on that structure. The issue of the PC7 contracts and what is the status and what is stalling the process. I'll ask Mr. Joshua to quickly deal with that. Are there any legal cases between the Swiss or the British involving Dinel and AMSCO insofar as the aircrafts are concerned? There is none, Chair, whatsoever. The only case that is that we are aware of that involves Dinel is in relation to the OEM of the platform for the Wufeister, which is Patria, a company from Finland, which is the OEM of those platforms. But they tried to join us into that case, but we successfully, demonstrated that the contract was between Dinel and Patria. Because it was, I suppose the strategy was to try and say, but
the money is coming from. Arms Corps is a contracting party. So it was a convenient move for them, but we were able to challenge that successfully. So the pending dispute is between those parties. In that order, and perhaps maybe Mr. Makagula can briefly touch on why we believe Ratel is an alternative. But you are not saying it's an ideal, you know, situation, but under the circumstances, we believe there's something we can do with the existing, because it will be an upgrade, so meaning it will be an improvement in terms of the technological advancement that actually will, in a long way, deal with some of the deficiencies that were identified with the current platform. In that order, I will ask the colleagues to respond.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of the bank guarantees, our claim will be against the banks, not against the NAL. So in terms of the corporate guarantee, you're fully correct. I mean, we will be just another creditor in terms of timing against the NAL itself. But for the bank guarantees, we just need to give a certificate that they did not comply with the contract in terms of that for the bank then to pay out our fund.
Okay.
Sure. With regard to the PC7, Switzerland, just to give background, the previous order had a contract manager from Switzerland. And during the new contract negotiation, we had a new contract manager who was not familiar with the process itself. So what happened was that during the contract negotiations, we had a prolonged negotiation phase whereby the contractor wanted to have a huge fixed cost, which were unacceptable to the Air Force. So the compromise was that for 1 year, the contractor can have a fixed cost. And when year two and year three comes into play, that fixed cost will fall off. During the second year of activation of the contract, the contract manager then started to negate on the initial agreement, whereby they stopped services with Arms Corps on the basis that they demanded to have the fixed cost before they can execute the work itself. That resulted in some of the delays. So in effect, the contract is still in existence until the 1st of January 2023. The reasons why we are having low aircraft available is not because of the Cubans, but we have oxygen regulators, which are serviced in Europe. And with the COVID situation, the plant couldn't cope with the huge demand. So we have a prolonged repair process, which has severely affected the aircraft availability. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other?
Chair, on the issue of the Ratel, as you have yourself mentioned that the vehicle was launched in 1976, so it's about 45 years old. So in essence, the Ratel will be a temporary solution because you almost need to change everything inside the vehicle except the body, the shell, because if you look at the engine doesn't meet the emission standards anymore, and also you can find the components of the engine. So you need to replace the engine, the gearbox, the wiring harness, except the shell. So it can be done, but yes, it's a costly and temporary solution. We need to find a complete new replacement for a vehicle, something between the Hoofester and the Ratel, in lieu of the limited funding. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. I think you were the last person. Was that not the last person, Advocate?
Yes, that was the last person.
Okay. Thank you. No. Thank you very much. Colleagues, thank you very much for the discussion. Very candid, frank. We really appreciate it. But to drill down into the nitty-gritties, some of which can't be aired in public, it may be necessary, but I will consult with the committee at some point to convene a one-on-one meeting, a meeting with each chief, the Army, SAMS, Army, SAMS, Air Force, and Navy, in a like a private, a closed meeting, somewhat. The same meeting we like the same we had previously. It was a good meeting. We were able to understand, to get a good picture of what the issues are, and on the basis of that, we appreciated why when the which core capabilities were seriously hampered by lack of funding. So I think we need to go back, revisit those discussions once again. In other words, I'm not closing the discussion. We are just adjourning the discussion on the issues that have been highlighted. Colleagues, it's not the right time to end the meeting. Right. I think it's the right time to end the meeting. The president is addressing, is replying to the debate in the next 1.5 hours. Colleagues, Minister, DM, thank you very much. Minister, SecDef, the team from AMSCO, led by the board chair, and colleagues from Auditor General, we appreciate your presence. It helps a great deal in supporting in the portfolio committee in fulfilling its responsibility or commitment to the Constitution. With that, I think it's now the right time to adjourn the meeting. Colleagues, thank you very much. The meeting is accordingly adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.